I love the apostles. They give me such encouragement. Whenever I get down on myself, I just think of them and I remember how clueless they were. And I don't feel so bad about whatever foolish thing I've done. Today, Jesus has just explained that he must go to Jerusalem and die a most shameful and painful death. And in the next moment, James and John are asking to be given special preference above their fellow apostles. James and John are brothers. Along with Peter, they're mentioned all the time in the scripture as part of the closest friends of Jesus. They're brought to the mountaintop to see his transfiguration. They're taken to the inner room of the house of the synagogue official to witness Jesus bring a little girl back to life. They accompany him into Gethsemane to support him, where, of course, they fall asleep, and on and on and on. In one scene, Jesus is passing through a Samaritan town, and no one will receive him to offer him hospitality because he's on his way to Jerusalem. Then these two brothers, James and John, who are also called sons of Boanerges, which means sons of thunder, ask Jesus, "Do you want us to call down fire from heaven on this town?" Today, there's not much thunder in them as their mommy practically takes them by the hand to ask Jesus this outrageous favor. The other apostles are not much better. They become indignant at the request of Mother Boanerges, and they all start to argue. Peter, of course, is the worst. There are too many stories of making foolish mistakes to recall today. Yes, whenever you get down on yourself, remember how foolish, selfish, and clueless were the apostles. Yet, amazingly, chosen by Jesus and formed by the Spirit to be the pillars of the church. From another perspective, the request by the mother of James and John is not so surprising. They are her sons, her family. Of course she would want the best for them, want them to get ahead, have the best positions. She probably loves them very much. At least she wants them to be as successful as possible. Wouldn't any mother or father want the same for their children? But as we hear the gospel, it's immediately clear to all of us that it's not right. It's just not right that she should ask this. If you were asked to identify yourself, to capture your full identity as much as possible, but only use 5 words, what would they be? I had this exercise years ago when I was in a career guidance class. Just 5 words to express as best you can who you are. Let me try. Weiler, man, Jesuit, Catholic, American. I've run out of words. I had to include Catholic with Jesuit because some people think we're Lutherans. Try it yourself. 5 words. 5 words. What would they be? This exercise helps us understand a little bit what is happening in the conflict in this gospel. The mother is doing something very natural. She loves her sons, wants what's best for them. Of course, they're family. And family is her first and most important commitment. She is loyal to her family. The other apostles might be nice guys, but they're not family. She's got to get what's best for her sons, even at the expense of others. This is the way the world works. You take care of your own, whether that means family, clan, tribe, church, countrymen, whatever group holds your loyalty. But all such loyalties are also divisions. These loyalties and divisions, they weave their way through and through our lives. Americans, Russians, Irish, English, black, white, Muslim, Christian, family, outsiders, friends, enemies, male, female, Seahawks, 49ers. Some are comforting, some are playful, and some are deadly. The mother of James and John was simply asserting her loyalty to family. Jesus has a big job ahead of him, and he's not done yet. He has to prepare us for heaven. That's our ultimate destination, of course. We will all meet again in the Father's house that has so many rooms that everyone fits. But there, the most important identity will simply be child of God. None of the other loyalties, none of the other groups, none of the other identities will be as important. Child of God. That's not to say that there's anything wrong with them, but all those descriptions of self, all those definitions of identity, have to yield before the primary one, child of God. And as children of God, we are all bound together in one family. Jesus is teaching us a different way of thinking about ourselves and a different way of loving. St. Paul caught it when he wrote, "All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So there is neither Greek nor Jew, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Jesus, in Christ Jesus." This heaven is going to be different. It might take a little getting used to. It would be good if we started getting used to it by practicing now. And Jesus is also teaching us a different way to love, even a different way to love ourselves. The mother of James and John thinks she's doing the best for her sons by pushing them forward, getting the best positions for them. But Jesus proposes something very different, that the height of human accomplishment, being the first, the greatest, is to act as a servant, a slave to all. The best position is the lowliest. What is the measure of a human life? If you were to look at the obituaries in the paper, you would think the best human life is for as a person to have a large family, great possessions and wealth, many, many honors, and have achieved amazing things. Jesus turns that upside down. His teaching and the example of his life is that human achievement is to empty oneself by giving all in love. To empty oneself. St. Paul again says this very well. Speaking of the Lord, he says, "Though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and he found a human appearance, he humbled himself further, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." The lesson of Jesus' death is not that he died a gruesome, horrible death. He certainly did, but so did many, some worse than his. The lesson of Jesus' death is that he didn't hold anything back. He gave his all. He gave his all in love for his disciples, for his brothers and sisters, for us. He gave his all for us, his brothers and sisters, because he plans to spend all eternity with us. As we look upon each other more and more as brothers and sisters, neighbors in eternity, neighbors in heaven, I think it'll change the way that we act, change the way that we think of ourselves, and change the way we think of those around us.